Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus is a heartbeat, the blood inside of the pain, the life inside of everywhere I go.
Hello everyone, it is time again, and this is KEI Radio Host, and we have here Dr. Sonny and Joanne Obama. So we are here to discuss biblical kingdom keys to help the body of Christ to have sound practical understanding on kingdom keys, spirit, soul, and body theories. And I'm just so happy to be with you today, and I'm glad that you are also excited also to discuss and to follow with us as we go on this journey. Hallelujah. But we are going to continue our series, but before then, we just wanted to pray and keep the ball rolling. Father, we just want to thank you this day. We bless you. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you all that you have done for us on the cross. Even as we are here today, we commit our brothers, our sisters, our families, our relatives, our children, everyone we know, our community, the place where we dwell in, the government, the nations, the world, into your hands, Lord. Have your way in your creation. Have your way, O God, in the people created. Though we may wander away from the path, things might dissuade us from what you want us to do, from the path you want us to tread. We are not faithful. We are not following you. Most of us are not serving you. Most of us don't even fear you or recognize you as our Lord and Savior. And that is the main reason we are here today, and we ask for your mercy. We thank you for the cross. Thank you for your blood you shed on the cross. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Like I said, we are continuing on our series. Hallelujah. And we began last week, and the topic was dealing with fear and loneliness. And today we are going to continue as the Lord leads. Today we'll be dealing with fear and loneliness, part two. Okay? Dealing with fear and loneliness, part two. And I gave a definition of fear and loneliness last week. So I want you to go back to and see what we said about that. And we are just going to continue now on this series. Amen. I'd like to continue by saying that the text I used last week was Psalm 27. And we were reading from verse 1 to 14. And I kind of stopped somewhere in the middle because of time. But I want us to know that it's a psalm that dealt with prayers for deliverance from treacherous enemies. And be that as it may, we need to seek the face of the Lord in the presence of these treacherous enemies that may come against us. And the psalmist was doing this very thing by seeking the presence of God, and this was his highest priority. That, you know, enemies might try to come against us. They might try to dissuade us from following us, from seeking the presence of the Lord. But the psalmist wants us to know that God's presence is very, very important, especially at this time in our life. And he kind of said that God's presence in this life, in the land of the living. See? So, and also we like to know, go back to what we have learned in the previous series when I was talking about the child of God. When I say, are you the child of God? You believe you are the child of God? And I kind of said in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, because it's very important for us to know who we are. And Romans 8, chapter 15 says, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received what? The spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have what? Received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, let's go back to the text that we are using. Then, afterwards, we can begin to apply other tests that might relate to this very topic. I mean, maybe help us also as we begin to fully understand how we may be able to deal with what? Fear and loneliness. Bible way. This is God's way. And God's way is very different from psychologists or psychiatric or medical and all kinds of prescription that the world might prescribe. But this is God's will. And I can say clearly that God's will is the best way.
Amen.
Because God's will is the way. God's way deals with demons. And most of these things are demon-oriented. The source is from Satan. You know, when you are able to deal with the root of a situation, most of this problem will be gone. Then we have solutions to our problem. Okay? And I'm going to read from Psalm 27. So, verse 27, I'm going to read from verse 4. It says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple." Verse 5, "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." Now verse 6, And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Verse 7, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me." Verse 8, "When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. None thy face far from me. Put not thy servants away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." Now, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. This is where I kind of left off last week. And we have seen in the world today, there are so many crises everywhere. There are so many troubles everywhere. There is fear. There is disarray. There is lack of belief on who we know, on our friends, neighbors. It's very hard now today to trust the neighbors. It's very critical because we don't know the kind of people we are dealing with, whether they are terrorists or whether they are killers or whether they are people of the same faith, because you find these days killers are living in the same communities and they are busy creating weapons that can kill a lot of people in their quest for fight for their religion. It's widespread these days, and in the communities, you can imagine a terrorist living in a community. So what has that in these days? So you see, when he said here, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." It doesn't matter who leave us these days. It could be a brother, it could be a sister, it could be a friend, okay? So many have had the sad experience of being forsaken by father or mother. We've had that, you see? And you'll see broken homes, differences of beliefs. You'll find addiction to drugs or alcohol, even psychologists, isolation can have children crippled by the loss. You find even as adults, the pain may linger. You see, God can place in our lives.
Lord.
Wherever there is a void in these areas I just talked about, God can fill this void. You see? And heal that heart. See? And he can direct us to those who may take the role of a father or a mother for us. His love is sufficient for all of our needs. You see? So he can always direct us to who will be a mother figure or a father figure, who will be able to take that place, you see, and be able to feed that void in our lives. He said, even though when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. So I don't want us to begin to feel, oh, I'm lonely, oh, I don't have a father, oh, I don't have a mother, oh, I wish I was having a father, I would not have been like this. Oh, I wish I was having a mother, I would not have been like this. And many of us have sang this song from many years. I've seen people were not raised by their father, and they keep putting their misfortune, disappointment on the source as being the father. They were not raised by either their father or their mother. Oh, they wish if they were raised by their father or their mother, they would not have been like this. A blame has been passed on to that void at that time. You see? You see, that is the reason why we need to stick close to God. Because the word of God is yea and amen. The word of God is truth. The word of God is the only truth that will set us free. He has said here that when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up.
Yes.
Do you know one with God is the majority? You see? So who are we when we are taken up by God will have any difficulties or any of those plans, any of those situations in our life where we say, oh, I wish I had my father. Yeah, it's good to have a father and mother. But here he's saying that when my father and my mother forsake me, there will be no loneliness.
And
there
also,
will be no loneliness. Yes.
Also, we know that God is in control.
Yes.
He is in control. So sometimes that parent you're crying for could have missed you even more. Or you wouldn't even have a desire to seek God.
Yes. Exactly.
But when we are in a situation like that, it humbles us to come to know him. So if a rejection doesn't mean that God doesn't know what you're going through. But the devil will try to use it as a the devil will always try to use it as a to say if he's God, why didn't he where's your father, where's your mother? Why did you have to go through to be in a in foster home, or why did my mom leave you? But you got to know that he's God. And God is not me and you, just a mere man. He is God. And we got to get to a place of stability, knowing that God is the only thing, is the only one that who is stable.
Yeah.
So if this thing happens to you, you have to look at it and know, God, what plan do you have for me? What plan do you have for me? What the devil meant for bad, but God says he will turn it around. So every mess in our life, you feeling sorry for self, that becomes selfishness again. You feel sorry for yourself. Oh, I don't have this. If I had this, I would be that. No. When we are still feeling sorry for ourselves, then we haven't found who God is. The moment there's still self, how I feel, I. But they didn't treat me well. They didn't. That means you are still, your eyes are not on Jesus. They are on you. Self-centeredness. I think we did this topic at the beginning. It is all about self-centeredness. But what, you know, what when you ask this mess I'm in and I'm still standing, God, what do you reveal this to me? What can I learn from this? Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. So that is good. You see, loneliness is when we begin to feel that we are alone.
Alone.
Nobody is with me. You know, we can also we can feel even when we are with many people, we can still feel that we are lonely. We can feel people are still in a marriage and they are lonely. You see, so you can see that it's a spiritual attack. Because it's a spiritual attack, it demands a spiritual answer. And that spiritual answer comes from where? From God.
Only God.
It's only God that can bring remedy. It's not medicine.
Not medicine. It's only God who can fulfill that void.
That can fulfill that void.
And that's why you see people
the one,
They are married, they have careers, they have anything. You look at them, you're like, wow.
Yes.
But when they don't put that piece of puzzle, he allows the rest, the other things we have really control. But when we don't put the piece of puzzle of God, things, you will never be satisfied, you will never be contented. That's why you have to look for drugs, that's why you have to look for sexual whatever, you have to entertain yourself on the internet, and all these things are coming in, and you're looking for to feel happy, but there's no happiness outside God. True happiness outside God, which is in, internal. But the rest of the other things, you can successfully get those things, but you are going to, there's going to be a void in your life. And as we speak now, somebody is listening. You know that there's a void. You have successfully done everything. But we know the piece of God, that puzzle, it's like you have a puzzle. There's one piece. If you don't get it, you cannot complete that puzzle. And life is the same way. It's the same way.
Mm.
But it all comes back is you got to know who God is. You have to, when you have void, when you have, you don't have peace, the Bible calls it beyond human understanding. Even when you're going through trials, but there's that peace, inner peace. And you don't have that. You start seeking. That's where you can seek looking for God, or you can seek with the things, or, you know, externally, which won't, you know, you get worse. But when you seek things of God, and you put your eyes on God, there has to be a transformation.
Now, from what we have now arrived at now, is our prescription for loneliness is seeking the face of the Lord. Because here it said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. So the Lord has promised that he will take us up. You see? So that that void, that emptiness, the Lord will come and fill that. You see, there are so many people that are filled with all kinds of things, and money or drugs or whatever they try to fill that void. It's a spiritual void that has to be filled by spiritual things. And the Lord said that he will take us up when we are experiencing that situation. So it is what God has said. And when he says it, he will do it. So I want us to recognize that is one of the ways that the Lord has said that he will be able to help us in this crisis.
It's the real deal.
Yeah. Amen. Now we are continuing. Verse 11 says, he said, teach me thy way. You see, the way to move forward. Now the Lord is saying that I will take you up. Now when he begins to take us up, you know, when somebody has accepted to be your leader, he's telling you now, I'm going to hold you by my hand. I'm going to be in charge now. So what do you want him to do? So he's now asking for him to teach me his ways. Obviously, our ways have led us to emptiness. Obviously, our way has led us to void. Obviously, our ways have led us to loneliness. So he's now asking, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. You see, it is only God's way and God's path that will prevent us killed by the path of the enemies. We don't want to go through the path of the enemies. The path of the enemies is filled with thorns. It's filled with bombs. It's filled with all kinds of deadly things that the enemy has planted. So he's saying, teach me that way. That is, teach me how you want me to live. Teach me how you want me to talk. Teach me where you want me to go. How you want me to experience my life. Teach me. You see, we don't know. You see, and lead me in a plain path. Very plain, not a path that is filled with ulterior motives, a path that that has something that is hidden behind. No, just a right path, a straight path, an upright, nothing hidden. Hallelujah.
Nothing.
Because of what? My enemy. You see, the next verse says, deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as break out cruelty. This is awesome. You see, deliver me not unto the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as break out cruelty. You see, one of the attacks of the enemy is for them to attack us with false accusation. The enemies are going to condemn us. They will call us names, condemn us. Oh, this is
part of life.
This guy is doing. Yeah, it's part of life. The enemy, whether you are doing right or wrong, the enemy will find a way to condemn us. The enemy will find a way to accuse us. Even if you do good to that person, they will say you have ulterior motives. You see? So there will always be accusation coming from the enemy. There will always be condemnation. But it is God who condemns. So their condemnation will not amount to anything. But that will bring fear. And it is that fear that we then submit to them. We don't want fear to enable us to submit to the will of the enemy. And where we then be delivered, you see, into the hands of the will of the enemy. The will of the enemy is to kill us. The will of the enemy is to the Bible says that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Kill, yes.
So, yeah, that is their will. It's just as simple. They want to steal, they want to kill, they want to destroy. That is his plan. They don't want us to be joyful. They don't want us to laugh.
Uh-uh.
They don't want the children of God to laugh. They don't want us to laugh. You see, it's amazing. You see, when you see the devil's plan in to disturb the child of God. So there will be accusations, there will be false witnesses against us. You see, and such as bring out cruelty. Can you imagine that? So they are breaking out death. Let's crucify. Let's crucify. So, but look at what he said here, verse 13. I had fainted. You see, there are times that you give up. Your heart will just be like melting. The heart will just be melting. You are like gone. Haven't you felt that? Where you find all around you is all like crashing. All around is all trouble, fear. So he said, I had fainted. You see, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Yes, there is goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, taste and see that the Lord is good. You see, there's goodness. He has tasted. David has tasted the goodness of the Lord. Otherwise, he would have fainted. His heart would have gone. But he has seen the work of God in his life. He has seen his track record. He has seen his history. He has led him to do just incredible victory. Now, yes, more crisis that he's facing. But he said, no, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. So he had come to believe that there is goodness of the Lord. Otherwise, he would have been what? Gone in his heart. You see?
Mm-hmm.
In the land of what? On the living. You see, one of the things we need to do is to, first of all, believe and to see. You can see here, it says, I had believed to see. So we Christians, we believe first, and then we see. But the world wants to see before they believe. No, but we are children of God. We are adopted by God, and our God is our Abba Father. We first of all believe on our Abba Father that what he says he will do, and then what we have believed, we will begin to see. But the world wants to see evidence. They want to see first before they begin to what? Believe. You see? But David is saying here, he would have fainted. His heart would have been melting. His heart would have been so weak, right? If he had not believed and begin to see the Lord is good. Okay?
The Bible clearly also tells.
Yeah.
The Bible clearly tells us that I believe he says that without faith we cannot please God.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no any other way. You have to get to a place whether you see anything or you feel anything. It's not about feelings. It's just about saying, you know what, I'm going to try this, God.
Mm. Yes.
Because you know, there's no any other way. You cannot just say, let me first prove, or let me first so. And that's how he thinks. You cannot just sit down, and that's what has happened also, even my mature Christians who have been in church for so long. We read the word, but we don't apply it. And it's not going to work. That means you don't have enough faith. You don't,
yes.
And he says, all you need is a mustard. You don't need, all you need is just to try me.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the heart, the word, and we love God, but there's no transformation in us. We are not doing exploits for God. So there's lack of faith. And if he says, without faith, we cannot praise him. If you don't take a step, you have to take a step. And then, he's already there waiting for us, but do we believe it?
Mm-hmm.
That loneliness, do we believe that if I take a step to love this God, he's already there. He's waiting. He's He knows what we are going through. We got to get to believe that He is my Father, and He knows. Like, you know, Jeremiah, when you look at Jeremiah, these are some of the things. It is step by step that there's no way we can get to the other side until we believe that He really cares for us. He really, you know, He has a plan for us. We can't move. That's why we get frozen when problems come. But if you read, like, Jeremiah 29, when he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me." When you have, we have a duty to do. We have to search Him. He says, "When you search for me with all your heart." But are we giving Him a whole heart?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it one leg? And that's why I've given my tithe. I go to church, I do the works, but I'm not experiencing this peace because we are not giving Him all. We give Him the part we want and the other part we don't. Yeah, but we have to completely surrender. He has to become all.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make you know that He is the only deal I have to survive. He is the only deal to get out of this mess. He is the only way. I don't have, there's no plan B. Because you know you have done plan B, plan C, plan everything. You've done everything, got your career, you got your family, you got your husband, but you're still miserable. So until He becomes, you know, whether we understand or not, but we just have to do it.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter whether you believe or not, He wants you to try Him. He says, "Try me." You don't have to be perfect. Many people are saying, "Oh, let me be perfect. Let me first clean." No, you cannot clean yourself. Come as you are. Come as you are. He's waiting. He's been waiting. For I know the thoughts of, you know, that I think towards you. He knew you before you in your mother's womb. Why are you carrying that burden? It's rebellion too. If you are miserable, that means you have rejected His leadership. You know, there's nobody can do nothing until you decide to seek Him with all your heart. We don't have a choice. If we put here, there's a formula that you have to do, it's a lie. You just have to come to Him as you are. You don't care where you have been. You don't care what you have done. You just come as you are. And it doesn't matter about education. You know, Matthew 11:25. He says, "At the time Jesus answered and said, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to the babes.'" Can you see that? You don't have to be wise. You don't have to be educated. You don't have to be, actually those people miss it. But He says these things from the wise. You have hidden these things from the wise and prudent. That's Jesus saying, and have revealed them to the babes.
To be a babe, to be able to get
humility. If you are still pride and you think you're wise, you know, in your own eyes, then you cannot find Him. We have to get to a humility place where that's why we have to go on your knees and just say, "You know, I have failed. I have made all the money, I have done everything, but I'm miserable." So in other words, he's hidden these things from the wise and prudent. So you don't have to have money. You don't have to be smart. it says, and have revealed them to the babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. And the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Every promise, we have everything. You don't have to be
so
bad.
Who is speaking now?
Jesus.
Who is speaking?
Jesus is speaking.
And he's talking to who?
When you look, he says, he's thanking the Father. He says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth.
He's talking to us. Yeah, he's talking to us.
In fact, thanked his Father.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's talking to us.
Mm.
He's telling us the secrets. And you don't have to be wise. You don't have to be privileged. You don't have to be anything. He reveals them to the babes, those who are humble.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have to be careful how we treat people. If you find a homeless person, you don't know. That's why we have to treat them well. If it is somebody with mental disability, we got to be careful what we are doing. What are we saying around those people? How are we rejecting them? Who are the babes? We all should all come as babes. And the way we treat others, the way we treat, you know, each other. Sometimes you find people mocking somebody disabled or somebody with a little mind or something. We've got to be careful. We have to be careful. And Jesus is inviting, come to the invitation to come to Jesus. So there's no, you can't say I don't have money. You can't say I'm not smart. Maybe I failed my school. No. Everybody qualifies. Amen.
Amen. That's awesome. So he has promised true rest for those who come to him, and those who experience fear, and those who experience loneliness. So he has promised true rest for all of us. And he has also promised a true rest to those who want to exchange their yoke for his yoke, because his yoke is what? Light. Right? And he says, it also says, he said, for my yoke is easy and my body
and
is
my
what?
Body
light.
Is light.
Light. So in comparison to our body and our yoke, he knows what we are going through. He knows that our yoke is heavy. And he knows our body is heavy. And most of this yoke, and most of this body, we just want to carry it ourselves. We want to carry the load, want to carry the burden. We are moving, oh God, can't you help me carry it? But he says, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is what? Light. Amen. That's awesome.
Yeah, there's nothing he doesn't understand about us. He understands every pain.
Nothing.
Every pain.
Yes.
Every pain. It's not somebody you are talking like, sometimes it's, you don't understand. Like a friend of mine, she's gone through bad marriage problems, and this friend was trying to tell her, said, you have a husband you work with, you don't understand. No, the other one is like, I do understand. I understand your pain. But this person looks at us like, you have a husband, how can you understand? No. This person who was talking to her, he understood her pain, but and that's what we do to God. That's what we do to Jesus. He says, I understand your problem. I knew you before you're in your mother's womb. And we say, no, how can you understand? You can't understand this. This is what I'm going through. Oh, no, there's no one. And that's the devil. That's the lie of the devil, because he will lie our mind and tell you that nobody cares about you. You are all alone. But the Bible says, he says, you'll never leave me nor forsake me. The angels are all around me. Oh, my God. Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah. So now, since we've been talking about the activities of Jesus in our lives, in terms of our load, labor, and rest, let's go further to what he did with the disciples when they were in the boat. That we can see in Matthew chapter 8 from verse 23. Matthew chapter 8 from verse 23. Okay? Matthew chapter 8 from verse 23. Now I like to read from Reverend John, if you are there, please read from verse 22. From verse 22. From verse Matthew chapter 8 from verse 22.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Now, when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. I'm reading from New King James. And suddenly, a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? Amen.
Amen. So we've seen this work also replicated in in Mark chapter 4 from verse 35 to 41, as well as in Luke chapter 8 from verse 22 to 25, is the work of God in terms of how he rebuked the wind and the wave while the disciples were in the boat. Okay? So we can see that there are so many things that we can get from here. A boat or a ship might be the life we are living, are we living a life in isolation or with God in our boat? Are we living with God, or is God knows what we are going through? Yes, he knows what we are going through. But many of the times we see trouble. We see situations. We see persecution. God has promised that in this life there will be a trouble. We've seen that in John chapter 16, verse 33. It said, in this life there's going to be what? Let's read it so that I quote. He said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So one of the things that we need to know is that the Lord has prophesied that in the world we are living, in the land of the living that we are, there's going to be what? Tribulation. Tribulation might be like trouble. It might be pressure, it might be anguish, it might be affliction, just name it, there's going to be all kinds of situations in this world. He said, but be of good cheer. I have what? Overcome the world. So the one way of dealing with the situations that we said, fear and loneliness, recognizing that the Lord understands what we are going through. He understands that we are going to have trouble. And he understands that we are also in trouble. He also understands that we will be able to deal with the situation if we be of good cheer. You see, that is, try to make a positive, try to turn a negative thing to positive. That is, being able to go against the wind. Just be strong. See, it's a be of good cheer. See, that is to be encouraged, to be strong, to be of good cheer. See, if we are discouraged, we are weak, we won't be able to be victorious. The enemy will have his way. But we need to take what God has done. He has already overcome it. He's not trying to overcome it. He said, I have. He's not saying I will. He said, I have already done it. So the enemy is just trying to do his fight. But he is already a defeated foe. Okay? So, now let's get back to our Matthew chapter 8. Now, we see boisterous storms. We see storms in our lives. We see situations in our lives. We see crisis in our lives. And these are all representative of the winds and waves that we see. You see? And most often, we find ourselves lonely. We find ourselves that the Lord is asleep or is sleeping. Most of us have concluded that there is no God. If there was God, why would this be happening? Why is God not standing up? Why is he not rebuking this? Why is he not doing that? Oh, maybe my God is in heaven just sleeping, or he doesn't know who I am. I think this is the same thing. They were accusing him. In fact, in Mark, in Luke chapter 23, he said, but as they say, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Okay? So let's see Mark. Mark said, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the winds beat onto the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Yeah, this is what I was looking at. Most of the time, we accuse him. So they were like accusing him. That is, you don't care that we are going to perish? You see? You don't care? So you are just sleeping? You are enjoying yourself? So you don't care that we are perishing? We are going to die? So that is exactly what most of us are saying today. We just accuse him, God, why are you not answering me? Why are you not doing that? I'm lonely. I'm in fear. Why are you? So all kinds of
accusations. Because we don't have the concept. We don't have the concept of who he really is, you know.
Yes.
That's why we are crying like orphans.
Yes.
Because we don't know. We have a father. Those are us, the father. If they are not there for you, God is a God of principles and God of. He gave us the parents to of this life, but of course, if the devil corrupts them, but he's there. He's the real one. He's the overall. So why do you concentrate on this when you can know that there is my my, you know, my heavenly Father. The overall of all, even the Father of my Father. So, it's not knowing what we have, not knowing who God is, and the devil is really good at that, taking that revelation, because it's a revelation. That's why we have to pray for revelation, because without a revelation, you will never know really who God is. And if you don't get that, you might go to church, but if you don't really come to a revelation of knowing who he truly is, you know, like that, the one just read, the one in, I believe it was Matthew 8. Think about it. Look at, let's go back a bit and say, when he, verse 29, he says, why are you fearful, or you of little faith? Why? And I think what he's doing here, he's trying to ask the disciples, like, go back, explore like your own mind. What's the cause of the reason of fear? There is a reason of that fear. It's a, it is a root. It doesn't just, you start feeling fear. But I think what I'm saying here is like he's trying to make them to make the disciples, you know, like the explore. Well, we have Jesus on the board. Why are we still fearful? And that's why he's like, why are you fearful? Oh, you little faith. That means he's trying to make them go back. Oh, we are lacking faith. It's the only faith that connects us with him. So he's trying to make them like, why are you so fearful? Oh, you little faith. So if you have a mind there, you have to work with that. And what does he mean? What is it? It's like, oh, okay. We are fearful. And then also when we are fearful, most of the time we are anyone who is having a panic attack or, you know, fear and all that stuff. There is a root. There is something that is causing that that fear. You should go dig deep. And that's what he was trying to make the disciples, you know. Go back, think, why? You, and the answer is yes, he gave it to them, oh, you little faith, fearful, oh, you of little faith. So faith is what he's looking for. And the moment we don't have faith, the moment we lose that, the moment the devil takes in, he is in your boat. But when the fear comes, you lose all that information. You lose all that knowledge. You lose all that relationship. And he's trying to remind them, think back. They would also be asleep. They didn't have to worry anything. If they knew that, oh, our master is here, he's the one who speaks to the wind, he's the one who, you know, who can do anything. But the moment, so we have to be able to, there is a root, and we have to be able to separate it, you know, from what we are thinking. Like, you know, do we have faith? And so it's a fear is a constant result of weakness in human nature. Because and the moment you start thinking about it every time, you know you have lost your faith with your Father. You have lost your and faith is the connector to our Father. So every time the fear, go on your knees. And say, forgive me. And you will be connected. And you know, I believe in what you say. And I know the faith came in. But I know. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. He was very, very tough on them because he has brought them up to that stage. And he wanted them to experience the power. He wanted them to be able to use their faith to rebuke the waves, to rebuke the wind, and be able and those things to be subject to the authority that Jesus also has. But he discovered that they were very fearful. You see, the same thing with us today. We have been given all the authority we ever needed. We have already been given our faith. You see, so what Jesus wanted from them was to exercise the faith they had. The same with us today. You see,
mm-hmm.
In fact, we need to begin to put ourselves in this, because we are all in all kinds of ways. We have all been beaten by the sea, the wind, and the waves. We need calmness. We need calmness in our lives. We need peace in our lives. We need
because
all these winds. Yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Because they will know that when we don't have calmness, we are distracted.
Mm-hmm.
We can't think properly.
Mm-hmm.
We have anxiety and all that stuff, and we are looking for medication.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he's trying to use it to distract us from the real thing. Our eyes, our focus should be on Jesus Christ, not our situation,
mm-hmm.
not our problems,
mm-hmm.
not what is happening in the world. If we have faith
mm-hmm.
to know that he controls the wind, he controls the sea, he controls everything,
mm-hmm.
when he takes, he robs that from us,
mm-hmm.
he has won.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. If you are one of those who are in fear today, you are in loneliness, and you are experiencing a sense of drowning, you feel that your boat is sinking, things are not going well, the whole place is about to crash, everything is about to crumble, no matter the situation, no matter the circumstances, no matter the tribulation, no matter the persecution that comes our way, I want us to recognize that the Lord has promised that he has overcome the world. And I also want us to know that he has not left us alone. We are not orphans. He is our Abba Father, a great encouragement. I want us to also know that he is in the same boat with us. Because he said that He's Emmanuel, that is God with us. Said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you to the ends of the age. So as I'm sitting down here, is with me. As you are listening to us, is also with you. So he will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what you have done, no matter the situation, no matter how sinful, he is there, outstretched hands. Say, come unto me. Come, I'm waiting. I'm knocking on the door. Open. You see, that is how lovely our God is. So no matter the situation, no matter the circumstances, it's the devil's strategy to separate us from the love of God. He wants to separate us from the love of God. He knows that when we begin to experience the love of God, we begin to experience that relationship with him, we are in contact with him, there's nothing that we can ask that he will not have. You see, he said, what shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? You see, all these are what we experience. You see, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. You see, many times we feel that we are already dead, we are already gone, we are hopeless. You see, he said, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You see, so this is so important with us, that God has said all these things, and we need to do them. We need to do it, act on them. You see, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. None as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That is, we all need an opportunity for us to not let our heart be troubled. Don't let it be world afraid. So we have a choice to say, I will not fear. So I want us to say that I will not fear. Say to that demon, to that Satan, hey, you cannot shake my heart. I will not fear. He said, let not your heart be troubled, which means you have a responsibility. You see? Never let it be what? Afraid. Hallelujah. Father, we just give you praise.
First John, chapter 4, verse 18, says, "Do not fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." We love him because he first loved us. So, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. That's power. Yeah, if you know you are loved, you are beloved, there's no way you can have that fear.
Amen. Why don't you just pray for people now? Pray for them now as we conclude.
Father, we just want to thank you for this opportunity, Lord. We don't want to take anything for granted. Almighty God, Father, we just lift your name and we give you glory and we give you honor, because you are our God. You are our Father. But there's nothing in this world that satisfies us as we have your word, O God. But Almighty God, we are believing that God, the one who was listening today with us, O God, whoever was listening or will be listening later, we come in the name of Jesus. We thank you in the name of Jesus that you are our deliverer. This is another way, a strategy of the enemy tormenting your children, O God. Right now, I'm calling out all the spirits that come with fear. Wrong decision, rejection, being hurt, judgment, authority, failure, darkness, being alone, death, witchcraft, height, demons, deliverance, losing salvation, spiritual gifts, being accused, pain, sickness, confrontation, cancer, insanity, heart attack, the future crowd, horror, panic, fight, sudden fear, horror.
We disconnect them.
All these torments that the devil is using. And right now, I've called you, you demon. You have called you. Every spirit that I've called you this afternoon. Because you come in, but if you come in the name of Jesus, we call your name, O God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, with the power, living power of the Almighty God that has given us, O God, we cancel every torment over the children, over your children right now. As you listen, oh God, all those things that I, all those names that I called out, they come with fear. And we got to believe that your Father knows your pain. He knows you. He knew you before you are in your mother's womb. He knows everything about you. He has a pain today. Be broken. Every chain, every demon, every spirit, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God. We honor you.
Yes.
We give you glory, God. That it's only you that who will satisfy us. That every void in our life that we is empty. Fill it with Jesus. Fill it with the word of God. He has given us the word. The word is God. Father, we thank you, God. And whatever people are going through, even as we're celebrating the 4th July, your God, as we celebrate, let the people spiritually, people celebrate in the name of Jesus. Those who have lost their sons, those who have lost their daughters, those who have lost their marriages, Almighty God, in you there is peace. The Bible, he gives it not as the world gives. Almighty God, the peace which is beyond human understanding, the peace right now, we cover your children, your people, God. Cover them in their rooms, in their hotel rooms, on the street, wherever they are listening, oh God. Right now, arrest every spirit that is not of God. And we thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And if you have not received this Jesus, and if you want to receive it right now, today is the day of salvation. You see, for the word says that, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jews and the Greek, for the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. Okay? So I want you to say after me, and if you don't know this Jesus Christ, pray this prayer along with me, please. Lord Jesus, as your Lord and Savior, say after me. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner.
Come into my heart.
Wash me with your precious blood.
Save my soul.
Be my redeemer. My deliverer. My savior. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So you are welcome into the family of God. And I want you to begin to get acquainted with the relationship, not a religion, but a relationship. Experience God's presence in your life. And one way to do this is to get a good Bible and begin to read your Bible and fellowship with brothers in a local church, okay, and read every day. Father, we just want to thank you for these people. There's none that will come to you if you have not enabled them. They have come to you, Lord. They believe in you as their Lord and their Master Savior. Keep them, protect them, provide for them. Even as this world gets in rowdy, I pray that their strength will not fail. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I bless you and I worship you. I give you all the glory today. We exalt you, O God. We commit each and every listener before you, even many of them that are yet to experience you, O God. Help them to come to the realization, O God, that you are in fact, that you are God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen and amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So God's love be with you. I want you to experience God's love and seek his love in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See you next time.